pray for the kids as they head out to Sunday school this morning. Yes. Father God, we thank you for this time of just coming before you. And Lord, we ask that you just humble us as we just be guided by you and spoken by you. Thank you for the children. Bless them, Father, as they just be taught this morning, and bless the teachers. And as we just come before you in learning more of prayer, Father, we just need you. I pray that this be your words, that you use me despite all my weaknesses, Father God, that this be for your glory. Open our hearts and ears in your name. Amen. Speaking of prayer, we would encourage you tonight to be praying for Devon and I and the youth as we meet back tonight at 6:30 for our first youth of 2018. I know a few of you are slightly older than 18, so would appreciate the prayer for us as we gather with the youth tonight. Now, this is the second part of our look at prayer. Last week, we discussed why we should pray. Because before we get into the hows of doing something, you need to know a purpose. There needs to be a desire. We were singing there about revival earlier on. And it's all well and good, but do we have the desire and of what that will look like? Because what that would look like is actually revival in us. What that will look like is actually a desire for us to just be in the presence of God so much of the time, having a desire to share the love of God with the people that we have in our lives. The revival works through us, and are we ready for that? Good. So, why pray? I'm going to do a quick recap of the why pray for that very reason of just then. So, why pray? We looked last week. Let's see. How's it working back there? There you go. So, recap of why pray. Last week, we looked at 5 points. Why do we pray? 1, because Jesus prayed. That's a really good reason. 2, because we can receive a peace that is beyond understanding. That's what Scripture says. When we come in the presence of God, we receive a peace that is beyond understanding. We also pray just to learn more of God's heart, to be in His presence, to know of His plans. That's also growing in wisdom. He has a plan for each and every one of us. You want to know it. You need to know it. Be in His presence. That's a real, real good reason in praying to God. We also keep our eyes and hearts set on Him in prayer so that it keeps us on track, keeps us focused on Him, keeps us growing in spiritual maturity. So those are just a few reasons why we should pray, and I think there are good enough reasons to now look at how to pray. And this, again, is just a few reasons or ways of how to pray. So here we go. There are 6. Last week I did 5. This week I'm 6, sorry. I won't try and increase too many. Because by December, that could be a long sermons. Okay, 1, how to pray. First, dial the right channel. Yeah, weird, huh? So, here's the thing. Do we even know who we're praying to? I mean, it sounds pretty basic. But sometimes if we don't talk about the basic things, we miss them. Dialing the right channel is, do we know who we're even addressing our prayers to? I love it a bit. My great-nan, who passed away a couple years ago, she was a proper English lady, my great-nan was. Think of the Queen, and that's how she kind of held herself. You'd go to a restaurant with my great-nan, and normally if you need the waiter, you would kind of catch their eye, and when you got the waiter, you're like, oh, waiter, come on. No, not great-nan. Waiter, waiter. It was always a delight to go to a restaurant with my great-nan. But anyway, I was talking to her about 3 years ago now, I guess, about prayer. And I said, Nan, do you pray? I said, of course I pray. I go to Church of England. Well, good, because there is only one Church of England, of course. Only one church from Great Nan. But of course I pray. Good, good. But I don't pray to Jesus. I went, oh, no, no. I bypass Him and go straight to God the Father. Now, the thing is, if we bypass Jesus, we're slightly missing the point there. My conversation with Great Nan was interesting after that. But sometimes we know people have the basic, but actually we miss it. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. We are able. He's not a middleman. We are able to come in the presence of God, boldly approaching the presence of God daily, hourly, any moment, because of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we are able to have this free and open communication. So even though this first step is a kind of a basic one, we got to get it right. We pray in the name of Jesus. In honesty, that's probably a sermon in itself that we can go far deeper in. So a lot of these points we're going to be going through quickly, but we can hopefully have conversations through connect groups and relationships here. Number two, make time for Jesus. Technically, absolutely, you can pray anywhere. And I know a lot of people, you guys have a lot of commute times. People drive 40 minutes just to see your neighbors. I get it. There's a lot of time for driving, and I've heard a lot of people like to pray while driving. That's understandable, because I've seen a lot of people how they drive. So, and that's fine. Don't stop praying. I mean, keep your eyes open, but that's fine. But here's the thing. Jesus gave time to communicate with his Heavenly Father. We talked about that last week. It was important enough for him to go up alone and pray. Giving God that time is essential. It's saying you're worthy of it. You're worthy of that. Praying without distractions means that we are able to focus on him. Matthew 6 is a great place to learn of how to pray, because Jesus talks bluntly about it. Verse 6, but when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to the Father in private. Then your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. We do this so we're giving him time, but also we're doing it so we're able to focus. There's no distractions, no temptations to do other things. It's good to be praying when you're walking and driving and all those other things, great. But make sure you're making him a priority. It's that desire. I want to make Jesus a priority. Therefore, I'm going to make time where it's just me and him. We talked last week about that open communication. And he blesses that. I mean, I love church. I love going to different Christian conferences. But to be honest with you, the time that I feel the most blessed is when maybe Jen's gone out to do the shopping or whatever, and the kids are in bed, and I'm thinking, do you know what? I'm just going to pray. And if you've done that, you'll hopefully agree that that is just an immense time where just God, as Jesus teaches there, he'll reward you. But just experiencing his presence is the reward. It's awesome. And so if you've not done that, try that. Maybe instead of watching the Oilers fail one evening, although we did okay last night, so fair play, that's not a good example, but that won't last. Oh, yeah, okay. Reality. But here's the thing. Give time to God. Make him a priority. Number three. I got heckled there. Unbelievable. Number three. Humble yourself and confess. We got to realize who we're coming before. We got to realize that Jesus, yes, is a friend, but he's not, buddy old Jesus, I'll speak to you next week, don't worry about him. Sometimes we have such a relaxed, too relaxed attitude towards God that it infiltrates, that it affects other elements of our praise and worship. That when we come before God, whether it be church, whether it be in prayer, are we acknowledging that we are before an almighty God that deserves our time and our focus? You think of Isaiah. When he came before God, He was like, woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips. Woe is me. I am doomed. I am now before God. He couldn't even look. You got Mary at the table with Lazarus, and Martha was helping feed people, and Mary was on the floor anointing Jesus' feet. It's that acknowledging, humble of who she was in the presence of. When we come in prayer, are we willing to acknowledge that we are before an almighty God who was with us in that time? Confession. It's a humbling experience. We confess directly to Jesus. He is our high priest. This is also something that separates us. Yes, we can confess to one another, but the reason you may want to confess to me or a brother or sister in Christ is that they're not the ones going to Jesus on behalf of you, but actually they can pray for you. They can journey with you. We can have an open and free communication with Jesus. Confession, and we'll look at that later in as we look at the Lord's Prayer, is a huge part of prayer. It's humbling to say, God, I mess up, and it's not okay. I want to be right with you. Confessing leads to cleaning and cleansing. You see, sin gets in a way of communicating clearly and freely with Jesus. Now, we know in Scripture we can read that nothing can separate us from the love of God. But what sin does, it acts like a fog. It acts like a cloud. You imagine you're maybe walking in the mountains, and it starts off a beautiful day, and you're walking with someone. But I don't know if you've ever done this. You're walking wherever it is, and the cloud descends, or the fog just appears, and you know you're walking with that person, but you can't see them that clearly. See, sin gets in that way. It mists, it fogs this relationship with Jesus. We need to confess. We need to come clean. We need to be pure before him. In all honesty, if you're thinking, I don't really have a good communication or relationship with Jesus, one, it might be you don't talk to him much, but two, there might be a lot of stuff in the way. There might be a lot of stuff that we're holding on to that's in the way. Maybe the first step for you is to acknowledge those things that aren't of God in your life that we're holding on to or focusing too much on, and maybe lifting that up to him. Be cleansed. So humble yourself and confess is a big part of prayer. It's putting God of where God is. Number four, pray for others and with others. The Bible has examples of times where the early church, they prayed with each other. The Holy Spirit descended. They were together. They were praying in that upper room. Prayer together is great. It's a blessing to be able to pray over somebody. I mean, praying with other people brings unity. If you're praying for an individual, a situation, or the church, to be able to do that together brings unity to those people. It's a blessing to be prayed for and praying over someone. But also it's a teachable thing. I hope our children learn to pray because they're hearing me and my wife pray. They're hearing mom and dad pray. That's one of the ways that they learn. Praying together is a good thing. But there are things that get in the way of that. Sometimes it's when we're in a group of people, whether it be a connect group or a prayer group or whatever it might be, and you're nervous to pray out. Quite honestly and often, that's because we're more focused on the people that are around us rather than talking to God. You may have a fantastic prayer life when it's just you and God, but then when there's other people and the thought of praying out, you freak out because we're more concerned about what the person next to me thinks. Thinking, oh man, they've got really good theology. They're really deep. I can't match that. Mine are simple compared to that. But if that's our thought, we're missing it. We're missing the purpose there. Because if we're going into prayer to show off or worrying about showing off or not having the right things to say, this is what Jesus says about that. He says, when you pray, don't babble on. So if you're going into prayer thinking, I'm going to impress them this evening, I've been reading my theology dictionary, and woof, I'm going to blow them out the water. Then you go in with the wrong attitude. He says, when you pray, don't babble on as the Gentiles do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. Yes, we're together when praying, but ultimately we're talking to God. And on the flip side, if you're worrying about praying because your prayers aren't good enough, or you don't always have the right words, then you're covered as well. Because the Holy Spirit, this is the great thing where it says in the scriptures, it says, and the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father, who knows all hearts, know what the Spirit is saying. For the Spirit pleads for us for us believers in harmony with God's own will. That's from Romans. That's the great thing. So you're covered. So even if you're like, I know what I want to be praying, my heart's saying, but I just can't get it out. Good. God's saying, I've got it. The Holy Spirit's, I'm taking this for you. That's interceding. It's so good to know. The Holy Spirit is like, I'm taking this for you. Again, a whole sermon in that. And we'll probably have to come back to this. God intercedes for us, taking our prayers, even in our weakness and our frailty. But also we can intercede for others. There may be people in your life that don't pray. They don't know Jesus. They don't have a desire to. But we can pray for them. Why? Because as we said last week, God's desire is for all to come to know him. We could pray for believers who are sick or who are going through a rough time or just for a blessing. It says here in Ephesians, pray in the Spirit at all times on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. There's other examples also. How to pray? We can pray for others. We can pray with others. We need to do more of that as a church. We need to recognize the power of prayer. I mean, we had a few months ago, Ray and Wilma stand up here, and we had a bunch of people praying over. Are we surprised, or should we be surprised when a few months later we're saying, that cancer's been zapped, that cancer is gone, and even when it came to the operation, it was way smaller than they thought? Or the first summer we came and we did the fall kickoff, it was good, but there wasn't so much attendance from the community. The year later, we had a week of prayer leading up to it, and the place was filled. I mean, do we associate what God is doing in prayer? Do we see the importance? Because we need to. We need to be more if our brother or sister comes on a Sunday morning and say, I am going for a real, real rough time, and saying, right, let's pray. Let's lay hands. Let's come around them. We get a bit too comfortable, maybe. It's okay to show emotion. In fact, it's good to. It's good to come around and pray. Another sermon on that another time. But these things are important for us as a church to be growing in. Number five, keep it biblical. If you've been praying every day for a Ferrari, I mean, enjoy driving that in the snow, but you probably don't know God's heart. So I would say get in the Bible and know God's heart. But not just that, to know God's heart in reading scripture, but also if you're stuck to what to pray for, the Bible is full of prayers. Read the Psalms. They're filled. They're just prayers. I mean, you read the Psalms of David and of what he's going through. They're prayers. Put yourself in that place. That's why I think so many people love the Lord is my shepherd, Psalm 23, just because you put yourself in that place of, I'm going through this real difficult time. I'm going through this valley of the shadow of darkness and death, and Father, just be with me, guide me, lead me. You can read those in Scripture. You can read those in Psalms and say, God, this is where I'm at. So just recite it. Just pray into it. Just put yourself in that place. We've been given a map. We've been given a beautiful direction of how to pray. and just to meditate and focus on those words. Keep it biblical. Also, when keeping with the Psalms, prayers can be sung as well. I mean, when people are singing, when we were singing, those should have been prayers. We're praying for revival. I mean, these are prayers that are just, well, some of it was in tune. It wasn't from me, but, you know, thankfully we have got good people leading us who are in tune, so it's good. But ultimately for God, it's good. It's all tuneful. But prayers can also be sung. And then my final point is we need to follow Jesus' example. Jesus teaches us how to pray. Again, in Matthew 6, this well-known that you probably were taught in school, the Lord's Prayer. Now, I put it onto one slide because I figured the reality is you probably all know it. But Jesus teaches us how to pray. And I think we need to make it our own. Because to go through it here, now I've used the NIV version. If you want to throw your thighs and other things in, then go for it. Because I know for some people that's how you learned it and it's close to you, go for it. But the reality is, here it is. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. That's the acknowledgement. Father, you are far above. You're God above. Hallowed, glory, praise, honor to your name. It's the acknowledging who God is. It's that humbling thing. It's saying, you are God, I am not. I am coming before you now. Our Father, who art or who is, who reigns in heaven, glory, praise, honor to your awesome name. That's what it means. When we just say it for the word's sake, we're not really grasping it, but when we say it as owning, and I believe that's what Jesus wanted us to do, is to own this prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's saying, God, nothing can stop your will. You reign on earth, in heaven. You're the king. You reign in my life, and I desire for you to reign in my life. But your will is going to be done, and I just want to follow you. I want to follow you, Father God. I want to follow your will. Jesus says that his will be done. Give us today our daily bread. He cares about our needs. It might not be for bread. It might be for peace for you. It might be for assurance. It might be for well-being. It might be for whatever you're going through, health, whatever it might be. Give us that bread. Just, Lord, just give us whatever that is. Fill in the blank. Father, this is what I'm needing. This is what I'm going through. God cares about you. We use this verse often in Zephaniah. He delights in you. He wants to hear from you. Forgive us of our debts. That's sins. Forgive us of our sins as we forgive those who sin or trespass against us, Father God. That's that humbling, like we looked at earlier, confessing. Father, this week I've not been in you. I'm sorry for that. Or Father, maybe my words have not been of you. I'm sorry for that. Father, maybe I've been gossiping. Father, maybe I've been lusting. Father, maybe whatever it might be, I'm sorry. But at the same point, allow me not to be bitter. Allow me not to be holding on to maybe what someone else has done to me. Father, allow me to forgive whoever it might be, in work, maybe church, maybe family, maybe years ago, maybe even yourself. As I allow them to be forgiven, acknowledging that I've been forgiven by you. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. It's the prayer of Father, keep our eyes on you. Keep my eyes on you. Give me the strength to be able to say no to those things that tempt me away from you. Give me that desire to just continue to pursue you, to get into your word, to be teaching, to reaching to others. Help me grow in your name. Jesus says that in the Garden of Gethsemane, as we looked at last week, that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Deliver us from those weaknesses. Give us strength, Father God. Prayer is you and God. First starts with that desire. We looked at that last week. But then we can talk all we want. Eventually, we got to go, am I going to do this? Am I going to make this actually part of my life? Am I desiring and wanting to make this part of my life? If yes, then I need to do it. Going to do something a little bit different. We're not going to finish with a song, but instead we're going to finish with saying the Lord's Prayer together. But before we do so, and when we do it, I encourage people to stand together. But before we do, I just want just a few moments for us to just in ourselves steady ourselves. Maybe it's confessing you need to do. Maybe it's just saying, God, I just need you. Maybe it's just waiting on him, preparing ourselves. And then in a moment or two when I invite you to stand and we say it how it naturally comes. Whether it's on the board there, whether it's how you learn at school, whether it's in a different language, if it's in Spanish, say it in Spanish. Because this is you and God. This is something we need to be growing in. This is something we need to be talking with each other about, being in God's presence and talking with him. It's essential for the church. You can't do church without this. So let's just spend a moment to come before him.